I think one of the things that's been freeing to me is like not so much the what, but the who. Like, what do I need to do, or what is the right choice, or what college, or what career? I know for me, what was freeing is just like, God wants me to love him and to like try to use each day to glorify him. So if I'm becoming more like Jesus, if I'm like, I feel like God is way more concerned about the who than the what. And I don't know what you guys think about that, because that can feel...
Who meaning like your heart,
who you're becoming versus what you do. Yeah. Sure. Like what we do is obviously important, but I think he's... Sometimes we get so caught up on like, should I buy this car? Should I buy that car? Should I take this job or not? And God sometimes is like, I'm way more concerned about who you're becoming. And if we're becoming more like Jesus, kind of the what...
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and with the power of his spirit, do better. So together, we can be a little better. Well, welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by Nate Miller, who just preached the message, and Jason DeGraff, and it's so good to be with you. I want to tell a little bit of a story. So last month, I'm sitting down about to play with my eldest son. So he's 6, about to be 7. And I could see him just kind of like wrestle with something in his head. And he was chewing on it. I was like, what's up, bud? And he was like, why am I here? How did I get here? Now, I wasn't particularly ready to have the latter conversation.
How did I get here? Well,
but you could tell he was just chewing on this big question. It was like, why am I here? And that question, I mean, he's 6, definitely perhaps getting questioning mind off of me, but that question of like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Can kind of stick with us. It does stick with us throughout our whole life. And that's the question that we're really tackling this weekend and this time on the podcast of why am I here? What's my purpose? And so I'd love for you, Nate, you're the one tackling this conversation on Sunday. Like, give us a little bit of a recap. How are you tackling this pretty significant question?
Yep. So, yeah, like you said, talking all about purpose and what does that look like as a follower of Jesus? How does that shift and change? Because you're right, we're all kind of just intrinsically wondering what is my purpose? And I think oftentimes we feel like even culturally, like we're reminded how far we fall short or how we don't measure up to whatever that standard even is. And so just talking about this reality of God sees us in Christ as his masterpiece, but yet so often we don't feel like a masterpiece. We feel as though we are falling far short of that. And so just trying to poke around a little bit and talk through like why we fall short and what are some of the like false purposes that we can chase after or live after, but also just trying to truly understand when we understand or when that question is finally answered of like, I know why I am here. And I know that I'm here to know God and to make him known and to glorify him. It totally changes the way that we view our lives and why we're here every day, every moment, every task. We now have this sense of purpose when we understand who we are and why God has made us in the purpose that he has for our lives.
It's really a wrestling question, right? Mm-hmm. I think at different points of our life, we somewhat have clear answers for, sometimes we don't. And even though as Christians, it can feel like the answer is pretty clear, I'm curious from your guys' perspective, like how have you wrestled? How do you wrestle with that question throughout your life? Like have there been some of those existential crises where you're like, what is my purpose? Like my son being like, why am I here?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's changed in regards to like when I was younger, I would say I'm 41 right now. So like in my 20s and 30s, a lot of like, and I grew up in the church. So I knew the goal of my life is to please God. The goal of my life is to glorify him. I was aware of that. But I think I was also this deep sense of wanting to just like make my life count and be successful, have a family. And so like internally, I'm just like, that's my purpose, or that's what success is. So I'm chasing after trying to like make those things happen, which those are important, even though deep down I knew like I'm trying to please God. But I think as I've gotten older, it's been interesting to see how like the purpose of my life is more to like be present with people that I care about, to be present with my parents who are getting older and I'm getting older, to even my kids, like Olivia, she's getting ready to turn 15 years old. And so it's this wanting to like, I don't know, treasure those moments, be present with those people that I love and are close to me, that I feel like time is slipping away, to just make life count more, or to make like life matter more, and to truly be able to honor Christ in those moments. But I never had that in my 20s and 30s, man. I was just like thinking like, let's just go. Like, I got to figure this out. I got to make a name for myself. But I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm finding myself more reflective and more just wanting to make my life mean or have significance.
It's almost like, I think in your 20s, you're trying to reach a certain threshold. So for instance, it could be, I want to get married. I want to have a house. I want to have kids. I want to have a good job. I want to have, you name it. Mm-hmm. Like, then you can actually live out your purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think as a younger person, we're still discovering who we are, what we're gifted at, you know? And so we're trying, even like, where do I go to college and what should my major be and what do I want to do for a career? And then once you're in the beginning of your career, you're trying to build like your resume and trying to improve your skills and be able to make more money, and you can compare yourself with your coworkers or the people around you, and
or what your parents did,
or what your parents did. Yep.
I feel like that's one of the things that I look back at my parents. Like, so my dad, very fortunate. He was a doctor, and he never like did work in his car. He was like, I am not. That's for someone specialized. And so then I was like, man, should I just take my car to the mechanic? But he also taught me to be frugal. So I want to try and do it myself to save a buck at the same time. But I think that we do compare ourselves so much to other people, and that shapes how we view ourselves. I'm curious if you guys have an articulation of, or how you would articulate your purpose.
I mean, I think when I think of purpose, I think of the why. I think of like the reason for why I choose to do something. I think I would truly say and believe like my purpose is one of the things, you know. I remember Emily and I, when we first got married, like we thought about like our purpose even for our marriage. We just said like, God, our lives are yours. So we want to try to just live open-handed and walk through the opportunities, the doors that you know, send our way. And we were coming out of Bible college. I had no idea what to do. I was applying for jobs at Enterprise to like rent cars. I was applying, you know, at all these different, but we just kind of had this like, we don't know, and that's okay. And there was a sense actually of like, I remember us like praying that and even talking about like, our lives are yours. So whatever, however you want to use our gifts and passions. And I think that for me is still remains true of like, my purpose is his. So whatever, God, I have these talents and abilities and I want to refine them and I want to discover who I am and who you've created me to be and these passions and skills that I have. And then whatever it is you have for me, I'm open. We're open to that. So that's kind of how I know, at least for Emily and I, and even our family, have thought through like what or how we define our purpose.
Yeah, I feel like there's this distinction between like our overall purpose and like our distinct gifting and abilities in life. I think you said just briefly a few minutes ago, our purpose is to know God and to make him known, which is, I think that's the Westminster Catechism. Like the first thing is like the chief end of man is to glorify God and you know him or enjoy him forever, make him known. So really when we have that central idea, you know, it doesn't really matter what we do. If we're doing those things, I think we find joy and satisfaction in that. So much of my life is trying to achieve, and then instead of just stop and be like, okay, enjoy God, like know God right now. I'm always just trying to do the next thing. But then there is like a looking at like, how has God uniquely gifted you to accomplish that mission, you know, which takes some time to like try things and do things in life and hear affirmations from other people or recognize what you're not good at as you try to live that out.
I know, like doing college ministry. So out of Bible college, taught at a Christian school, and then Em and I, we were missionaries with Crew, Campus Crusade for Christ for 4 years. And so doing college ministry, like that's like college, everyone's wondering like, what's my purpose? What is God's plan for my life? And I think one of the things that's been freeing to me is like, not so much the what, but the who. Like, what do I need to do? Or what is the right choice? Or what college? Or what career? I know for me, what was freeing is just like, God wants me to love him and to like try to use each day to glorify him. So if I'm becoming more like Jesus, if I'm like, I feel like God is way more concerned about the who than the what. And I don't know what you guys think about that, because that can feel
who meaning like your heart,
who you're becoming versus what you do. Yeah. Like what we do is obviously important, but I think he's, sometimes we get so caught up on like, should I buy this car? Should I buy that car? Should I take this job or not? And God sometimes is like, I'm way more concerned about who you're becoming. And if we're becoming more like Jesus, kind of the what.
It's interesting, as you said, like the who, I could also see another angle of like, it's who you're interacting with, not what you're doing. So it doesn't matter what job you do, like, how are you influencing the people around you for Christ? You know, how are you loving them well?
That's good. Sure, sure.
The devil's advocate in me is like, yeah, that's too simple. And it's like a bit of a cop-out. Because at the end of the day, it's like, part of our purpose, even you made the point, I might botch up your point, but you said we're not saved by our works, but we're saved for our good works. And so there's an element there where the proof of our salvation is in what we do. Mm-hmm. And so we have a bit of a juxtaposition, a bit of a dialectic there between, okay, it's just about who I'm becoming, but also what you do is a result of who I'm becoming.
For sure.
How do we square those two things then? Because I think a lot of the times people do ask that question, yeah, like what, and I'll be honest, like I'm trying to wrestle with that this year. Like how can I more, not the overarching, I think I understand that a little bit more now, as you said, getting older, you kind of understand yourself a bit more. But to me, I'm now like, how do I articulate, God, this is how you've made me. Not that it's going to stay the same forever.
Yeah.
But how do you want me to work for you?
Right. Yeah, that's where I feel like you got to start with the who before the what. Like, if you're starting with the what do I need to do, what do I need to do, without doing the like, what has God done in my life? What's the purpose of my life? Okay, so it's to know him and to glorify him. Like, and if I'm living that out and I'm allowing him to refine and chisel away my heart and I'm focused on who I'm becoming, the what will kind of take care of itself as we're active, as that changing is internally is bringing about external change. But if all we're focused on is the what do I need to do or what's next, then I think that that's where then it becomes very much like, I got to earn this. I got to figure this out. I need to be enough. I have to. So that's where I think if you figure out the who am I becoming and who am I and what is my purpose.
Yeah, I feel like I'd push back. I feel like it really is that simple in many ways. I feel like when I look at my life and I'm like, what have I accomplished, you know, in my career? Who have I become? You know, what failures do I have? I look around at what other people have done. Like, it's easy. You know, I'm like, oh, man, this guy is an expert, you know, in this field, and he's so articulate, or he knows this, you know, way better than I do, and or he's written all these books, or whatever it is, you know, then I can feel like, you know, I haven't accomplished anything. And again, I'm looking at myself instead of looking at like, why has God placed me here? My purpose isn't to do more than what someone else has done, but to honor God with where he's put me.
I think for me, it's not, I'll say my wrestle with it is not necessarily what more do I need to do. It's actually more about, what do I say no to? I want more clarity on, God, how have you made me? And what do you want my focus to be? Rather than like, oh, I see this person over there is like a genius and I want to try and be like that. You know, it's a slight nuance, but you do mention like the comparison piece. And I'd love to get to the cultural influences, I'll say. So you mentioned Artemis in Ephesus in your message. What was the sort of cultural influences, if you know, to the Ephesian church at that point? And how does that impact how we view reading that scripture from Ephesians? How do we understand the kind of cultural things? Because we have, and I want to get to that in a bit, but like of our cultural influences and how that kind of shapes and tries to pull at our purpose.
For sure. Yeah, Artemis was certainly a massive cult that impacted Ephesus. I showed, you know, an image of just how big and grand that temple was. So its presence there was massive. And obviously it's a false god, it's false worship. And they were certainly, there was a presence or a pressure to, you know, for the Ephesians to worship that god or to perform whatever sacrifices or whatever the practices were to be able to honor that god. And so I think that was certainly a pressure for them, and a big one, much like, you know, I'm trying to compare that to what, you know, culturally today might be. You know, we have those same pressures. It might not be Artemis, but it could be politics. It could be, you know, just wanting our kids to be successful, or it could be, there's so many other things that can also be false gods that pull us to say, hey, my life ought to be about this, or I'm that's the meaning and purpose of my life. But I don't know if that answers your questions or gives more clarity around just some of the cultural differences. Mm-hmm. But
you get any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like just trying to process. Often until we lose something, we don't realize how much of our identity we've made that. And so whether it's like you are married and then your marriage ends and you find so much of your identity was on being a husband or a wife or having children. And if you lose that, then you recognize that's become my identity instead of, you know, my ultimate identity of pursuing Christ. Same thing with a job. You know, if you have, you know, had something for your whole career, you're 55 and then you let go and then you kind of start wrestling with your identity. You recognize those things become your God instead of God becoming your God.
There's been a shift when you look back to the kind of middle to late 1900s. It's funny because we were all born in the 1900s. So like to say, no, like the 1900s.
My kids actually, like, the other week were like, you were born in the 1900s?
I know. But it kind of, there's a heavy emphasis within the church of worldview, even just culturally in general. It's like, am I a Marxist? Am I a communist? Or am I a capitalist? Am I a Hindu? Am I a Buddhist? And it becomes about these ideas that we attach ourselves to. Now there are these patterns and different sources, to jump back to even week one where Drew was talking about there's different sources. The playing field's changed, where there's so much distrust towards institutions, not just the church, but into whether that's government, whether that's small businesses. Actually, small businesses are probably the most trusted institution, I think, in the Barna study. But institutions which hold values, hold community, there's a massive distrust. And as representatives of the institution of the church, that people are no longer trusting implicitly, does that shape our purpose at all? Maybe is purpose more the individual thing, but is it all fixed? You said like it's more about the who than the what. Mm-hmm. How does that impact our purpose as Christians in this time?
Yeah, I think it's a really good reflective question to ask yourself of like, how much am I basing who I am and what I do off of an institution, whether it's our country, politics. I think that is a piece of where we find our identity or can find our identity and purpose. And so I do think that we can subtly, if we're not careful, begin to find that definition of our purpose in the things that we see around us. So I guess I see it more as, it's just, yeah, that's a good reflective question to say, okay, am I truly focused on God and what he has for my life and trying to make his name great? And that is what's driving my purpose? Or has it begun to become, no, I don't, something else is shaping that rather than it being Christ
alone. Yeah, I think when you look at the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, you see a very communal nature. So our identity is shaped in who we are, our family of mm-hmm. origin. It comes from, you know, we're God's chosen people, and you know, even if one thing happens to an individual, then it happens to everyone. You know, if one person is judged, the whole family is judged. Now, especially over the last, you know, century, we've moved into what's been termed expressive individualism, where all of my identity comes from not my community, but from who do I think I am. So, and Drew talked about this week one, we look around and ultimately we're looking within to try to find out who is our identity. And if we're trying to, you know, identify ourselves outside of the one who created us, then we can easily get lost and find ourselves swimming, looking for identity, satisfaction, and who we can be instead of what God's made us for.
Yeah. Which is, I think, why, I mean, it is maybe, I don't know if it could be a barrier or hard for people to see, like, it is so simple as coming back to Christ, and he is everything. And as we trust him, know him, as he chisels away those like rough edges or the pieces of our lives that aren't like him, that purpose becomes clearer, I guess. But if you don't start there, you end up in many other potential destinations, I guess.
So you said expressive individualism. Mm-hmm. And I think even the series title, The Search Within, is kind of a nod to that, or like mm-hmm. an acknowledgement that we wrestle with that. Yet we also have these sort of, I feel like we live in polarized times, mm-hmm. not just with politics, but I mean, it's nuts right now that it pulls us in, even just like things like the TikTok ban. People were all up in arms, like, what was it, 170 million people that were on TikTok. And I was like, why are people so upset? I mean, obviously you've got people who are like their businesses and their livelihood are tied to that. But there, it becomes this, a war against these ideas. Even going back to when Hamas invaded Israel and took, what was it, 1,000 hostages, and then you've got more people, or Israel, responding to that, and then it became this massive fracturing, which has been there for a long time. But how does the kind of the turf war or even tribalism play into that expressive individualism? Because I think a lot of people find purpose in the camp of, no, I am a Republican, I am a Democrat, I am pro-Israel, I am pro-Palestine. Like, we find ourselves in these camps, and it for some reason it makes us feel like it gives us purpose. Is that, obviously that's because they're lacking purpose.
Well, we attach our identity to movements of people, to, like, I'm an American, or my gender, or my sexual preference, or who I cheer for, you know. So instead of Christ being our ultimate identity, you know, if something that we identify with is being threatened, then we're going to attack the opposite.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I think, like, my wife, she's half Filipino. Some people know this, some people don't. Like, and she has such a pride and joy in being half Filipino, and her dad is 100% Filipino. She got to go there about two years ago for like 14 weeks for the first time in her life. Like, there's such a joy and pride in that. And that's wonderful. And that's great. But it's, yeah, you can never let that sense of who you are trump and remind ourselves of we're ultimately a part of the family mm-hmm. of God because of what Christ has done for us. And so that should trump or be where our purpose is ultimately found. Not that we can't take great joy and pride in what country we come from or what sports team or, you know, other things like that. But ultimately, I feel like you have to come back to what's my purpose and why am I here? That helps to then provide a pathway for knowing how to think about some of these other issues, whether it's our sexuality or gender, or like, if we don't start with understanding our purpose, everything else kind of hinges on that.
You mentioned about like something being taken away, and that was mm-hmm. something I really wrestled with. Having left Scotland, but the weird thing now is that when I go back, there's a weird part of me. So I'm here, I'm a bit of a unicorn, like Brad was joking around last week that calling me Irish. and so like, there's a nice piece about being a unicorn. So when I go home, I'm not a unicorn. Like,
you're nothing special. Your accent doesn't stick out.
Well, actually it kind of can do in the other time, like, because it's softened. I'm more, a little bit not Mid-Atlantic, right?
Yeah. Where have you been?
So there's a weird thing where I've had to do some gut checks, like you're saying, of how much is that of value to me that I am either feeling like a unicorn. Fun fact, actually, is that the unicorn is actually the national animal of Scotland.
Get out.
No really? Joke. Yeah. Yours is a golden eagle. Mine's a unicorn.
Hey, at least ours is an actual. Like,
anyway, but no, I've personally felt that pull, even in just really subtle ways. Now, many, I want to jump as we kind of round third, if you like that coming American home. Analogy, as we come into home. You have this great analogy, even in Ephesians, it talks about a masterpiece. And that can be, for the Christian, it's like, well, I don't feel like a masterpiece, but you are. And then you've got someone that might not be a Christian and they're like, wait, you say that I'm made in the image of God and I'm not a masterpiece? Like, how do we reconcile that? What does that even mean? You even mentioned about chiseling before.
Explain I think that's a great question. And I think, right, we, like week one, we talked about how we're made in the image of God. So there is value. We all have that fingerprint of God. So all life is valuable and has meaning. But we also know last week the reality of what went wrong and what broke that relationship that we did have with God in Eden in Genesis 1 and 2. And so that's where, like, I find Paul's words really helpful in Ephesians 2 of how he kind of just walks through the reality of without Christ, we are truly like a corpse. We are truly unable to help ourselves. We are dead. So we have to at least acknowledge that and start there, even though that can be really, really hard and difficult to think that. But yet it is true, but yet God has designed each and every person for a reason and purpose, and he wants them and loves them and desires for them to know him and to know that purpose. That way they can truly have that sense of purpose for why they were created, which is to then love God, love others, and feel a sense of fulfillment, not a sense of emptiness, not a sense of like, who am I, not a sense of worthlessness, but a sense of completion and hope.
Yeah, there's a word philosophers use called telos. You know, it's the end to which we exist, or something is made for. And if we live absent of that ultimate end, then we don't find satisfaction. We're always going to be searching for more. And until you recognize that that is found in God, you're going to be searching your whole life, never, you know, getting to the point that you were made for.
I don't remember what age I was, but I remember asking my dad the question that Watson asked me. I was like, Dad, what's it all about? Like, what is the purpose? Even as a Christian, what's the point? And in his Church of Scotland upbringing, he turned to me and he said, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so whether you're still asking the question, whether you're still wrestling with it, maybe the shortened Westminster Confession of Faith might actually give you a little bit of clarity. If not, go back and listen to the message. But the search for our purpose isn't as far away as it actually is. And I think it's a lot closer. And God's wanting to shape you first and foremost before he's just trying to get you to do something for him. But the beauty in it all is that our purpose is to glorify God and to be useful for his kingdom. And let's just enjoy him in the process. I think we get so caught up in it's like, oh, it's winter time. This is really hard. It's like, actually, there's so much beauty. Just by walking outside and being part of nature can lower cortisol levels and give you creativity. There's so much that as we reconnect with the purpose, as we've talked through in this series of Back to Genesis, we're made in his image. Even reconnecting with that, we find God there. So hopefully you can find some joy and peace in that, knowing that he is with you and he's shaping you. And join us again next week on A Little Better. See ya.